A good cup of coffee is one of the great small pleasures in life. That is, unless you've given it up for health reasons. After 2 years of research into coffee, Corby Kummer has written a series of articles on how to brew a truly pleasurable cup and what the latest medical research says about caffeine and decaffeination. Kummer's series on coffee is currently running in The Atlantic magazine. He's a senior editor and food columnist at The Atlantic and also writes about food for New England Monthly. I asked him first about the health effects of caffeine.
Like any chemical, caffeine has an effect on you. It makes you more alert. It makes you think faster, although not more clearly, unfortunately. It wakes you up. It does have an effect on you. Whether it's harmful, no, it's really not thought to be harmful. It's really up to you and your own sensitivity to it. Getting off caffeine can be really unpleasant, and almost everybody gets a bad headache that starts between 12 and 24 hours afterward and can last 2 to 3 days. That's very well documented, and there are lots of other things that are reported to be a bad result of caffeine withdrawal, the usual lethargy, inability to work effectively, loginess. So it can be unpleasant to go off it, but as far as actual risks, nobody's come up with much of anything.
If you're worried about digestive tract problems, whether it's ulcers or even urinary tract irritations, is there less of a problem associated with decaffeinated coffee than with caffeinated coffee?
Not really. This is unclear, but it turns out that both regular coffee and decaf have laxative effects and increase the secretion of gastric acids. So, in fact, much more powerfully than caffeine itself does and pure caffeine does. So it seems to be other acids in both caffeinated coffee and decaffeinated coffee.
A lot of women end up giving up coffee because they have fibrocystic breasts. They have these benign lumps in their breasts. And a lot of doctors recommend giving up coffee for it. What does the literature you've been reading have to say about coffee or decaffeinated coffee and fibrocystic breast problems?
I have to say that a lot of doctors, many fewer doctors recommend caffeine abstention than they used to, because there were a number of studies done, I think about 6 years ago, to see if there was lessening of fibrocystic disease when women gave up caffeine, and it wasn't statistically significant. And when those findings were released, doctors said, you might as well go back to having coffee because there doesn't seem to be a link to it. The evidence for it as an effective treatment seems mostly anecdotal.
Mm-hmm. But if you think that you have a problem that's getting better if you've given up coffee, I guess you should just trust that.
Yeah, and a lot of people think that problem has decreased once they've given it up.
Yeah.
There's nothing so far supports it.
Right.
But as with so many things with caffeine, it varies by individual, and it might well work for some women. There certainly seems to be no link to breast cancer, and there has been no link supported between coffee or caffeine and the actual development of fibrocystic disease.
Let's think about coffee and taste. What advice would you give us about what kinds of beans to buy and what kind of roast to buy when you're shopping for coffee?
So much advice.
Oh,
first advice is freshness.
Mm-hmm.
That is more important than whether it's some fancy coffee or not. And it turns out that one of the very worst ways to get fresh coffee is to buy it from bins, Lucite bins in supermarkets and nice-looking jars, because there it's most exposed to air and heat, which are the enemies of freshness in coffee. And it might have been hanging around a long time. You're better off getting it from a can, as odd as that sounds, and you're very best getting it by mail order, by parcel post, because a lot of roasters, in fact, most roasters you order from, ship it to you the day it's roasted, and a lot of people think the best flavor is 2 days after roasting, 2 to 3 days after roasting, which is usually when you'll get it. Seattle seems to be the coffee capital of America, if not the world these days, and a number of places like Starbucks and Caravali and Torre Fazione Italia are becoming cults across the country. It's same with the Coffee Connection in Boston. So you call them up and you order coffee and you get a better choice and better freshness. If you have a place that's roasting it fresh in your town, support them. It's hard to stay in business and they're giving you fresh coffee too. And also, I found that dark roast isn't synonymous with sophistication, the way I thought it was. It's good for espresso, which is really another kind of coffee, but it's not necessarily best for drip coffee, or it doesn't show off coffee best. Light roast can really show off the balance of liveliness and things that give it sparkle and flavor much better than a dark roast, which can mask those things. You're tasting charcoal, just like when you have a charred piece of grilled food. You love that carbon, but that's really what you're tasting, not the food. And it's the same thing with coffee.
You recommend grinding your coffee at home and grinding small amounts at a time so it's always fresh. What are the advantages of buying it as beans and grinding it at home?
Again, it's freshness. It keeps much better in the bean because the more surface area that's exposed to air and heat, the more it's going to lose flavor to the air, which you don't want it to. You should store coffee, all coffee, in airtight, opaque containers, best at room temperature. This freezing question is really controversial. It's only appropriate for whole beans, not ground. And it can dry them out, and they can lose flavor compounds that they'll never get back in defrosting. If you're going to save it for months, you might as well freeze it. But for a matter of weeks, you're probably better off at room temperature in a very airtight container. That's really the key.
So you don't recommend keeping that coffee in the freezer?
No, and I don't, certainly never in the refrigerator, which dries it out terribly, and it can absorb, it's very absorbent. I mean, instead of baking soda, some people used to recommend that it be used as a refrigerator freshener because it's so good at absorbing other flavors. So it's best to keep it out.
The most popular method of brewing nowadays are those, the drip method, where you drip into a pot and then the pot stays on a burner for either 5 minutes or a full day.
Burner. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, why do you hate burners?
That's the worst thing that you can do to coffee.
Uh-huh.
As it turns out, with the widespread surrender of the home percolator, which is a pretty terrible way to make coffee, once Mr. Coffee elbowed it out in the early 70s, we went to the method restaurants have been using for years, which is filter coffee, and that's a wonderful way of making coffee. Although I think that you're much better off if you buy a metal filter to substitute for the paper, because a lot more of the oils that give body and some flavor, but certainly body to coffee, come through a metal filter. That's true percolation, by the way, when coffee goes over grounds that are in a metal filter. Paper is filtration. However, the enemy of coffee all over America is keeping it on a burner because it oxidizes a lot of the flavor compounds. Many of them just vaporize away in that steam. And what you're getting is something kind of bitter, sour, and unpleasant. So what you should do is transfer it to an insulated pitcher container, a thermos kind of container. That's the kindest thing that any restaurant can do to coffee because they're making it. They don't need any more expensive equipment. If you have an automatic drip machine or an old hardware drip machine, a hardware store one, they're great. There's really, you can't do better. But don't keep it on a burner.
What do you think of those new, they're new to me anyways, infusion pots where basically the grounds sit in hot water and then you filter them out after it's brewed?
Oh, I'm not wild about those. Those are the plunger pot, also called Melior for the most famous French manufacturer. And they've been kind of a chic staple item in gourmet restaurants and homes for years now, for at least 20 years. They look great because they have this 1920s design that makes you think that Hemingway is next to you at the De Mago in Paris. And a lot of people swear by them. Infusion is a perfectly good way to make coffee. It's kind of the sophisticated way of making camp coffee, cowboy coffee. I don't like it very much. I find that there's too much infusion left, even with the genuine French models, which have a much better screen that screens out the sediment. They're very expensive, and so most people get the imitations, which allow a lot more grounds through it. The coffee's cold by the time it's done, and when you're plunging that screen down through the water and grounds mixture, it can take a lot of force because there's a tremendous amount of surface tension. But a lot of people are really loyal to this method, and what they should be doing is using a coarse grind and a lot of it, more than you would think. That's the best way of making plunger pot. I'm just not wild about it.
Well, you've been researching coffee and drinking a whole lot of very good and very bad coffee as part of this research for at least 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Has your approach to making or drinking or buying coffee changed as a result of the research that you've been doing?
Yeah, it turned out that a lot of the snobbery I thought I was going to adopt enthusiastically was completely misplaced. That freshness is much more important than some fancy kind. That going out and spending money on Kona or Jamaica Blue Mountain, you're probably wasting it because it's probably not those genuine things or in a pure form. Also, to use enough coffee, use those coffee scoops to 6 ounce cups. It's 2 tablespoons to a 6 ounce cup, and that makes a lot of difference.
You drink decaf, right?
I drink quantities of decaf, quarts of it.
Why did you switch to decaf?
Because I'm one of those people who's extremely sensitive to caffeine. I mean, I could be propelled across the country from one cup of coffee, but I love the taste of this stuff.
Well, Corby Cummer, thanks a lot for talking with us about coffee.
Thank you.
Corby Cummer, his series on coffee continues in the July issue of The Atlantic.